This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is a true crime in real-time update from the On Deadline podcast. This week, we're going to start with a quick roundup of crimes to keep an ear on, as well as an update on a case that we've been following on this show, the murder of Kaida Scott in the Philadelphia area. We also have two interviews, one with a sheriff on a new app that might be leaving young users vulnerable to sexual exploitation, and another with radio personality Mary Lucia. Her new book, What Doesn't Kill Me Makes Me Weirder and Harder to Relate To, is about her years-long experience dealing with a stalker. It actually brings up similar questions to Scott's case, where the alleged killer also had a history of stalking and kidnapping. Do we take stalking seriously enough? Do we listen to women enough? Lucia says the answer is often no. But first up, here we have those crimes to keep an ear on. We'll start with 1010 Winds in New York.
The Essex County Prosecutor's Office on the case in Newark following a shooting at a recording studio that left two people dead and two others wounded.
Unclear how many shooters may have been involved in the gunfire at Platinum Sound Recording Studio on Clinton Avenue. And there's no word either yet of any arrest this morning. Cops scouring the area all night looking for clues. Brian Foster spoke out. He's lived in the area for the last year and a half.
The place is usually quiet. I haven't really seen, no traffic really goes in and out. You hear a little music sometimes, but nothing. You don't see anybody hanging out in front, nothing. I don't know anybody around here, so whoever got, I wouldn't know him.
Now, we're being told one man was pronounced dead at the scene. The other died at the hospital. Two other men are in stable condition, as the Essex County prosecutor will update us later this morning.
Now on to WCCO News Talk in Minneapolis, where
police say a man was killed following an altercation around 9:20 p.m. on the 2900 block of Emerson Avenue North, and that two suspects are believed to have been involved. Meanwhile, a woman in her 30s was shot and killed 30 minutes later on the 800 block of Franklin Avenue East, where another group had gathered. Police Chief Brian O'Hara.
It's disturbing, you know, to have two fatalities so close to each other, especially, I think, it's been, in the last week, I think there was only one shooting in the entire city. And obviously there's a lot going on in our community right now. So, yes, this is definitely concerning.
No arrests in either case.
In the Bay Area, KCBS Radio has been reporting on a brutal stabbing Here's a report from this Tuesday.
The suspect in the fatal stabbing of a UCSF social worker at San Francisco General Hospital is being charged with murder. KCBS's Shannon Golden joins us live from San Francisco with the latest details on the case. Shannon?
That's right, Margie. So much has changed about the case since 36-year-old Wilfredo Jose Tortolero Arechi's booking last Thursday. Now, what was first a possible mayhem charge for severe bodily disfigurement has evolved to a murder, like you said, since UCSF social worker Alberto Rangel succumbed to his injuries over the weekend.
We have a decision to make about whether we proceed on a first-degree murder theory or a second-degree murder theory, and a part of that requires us looking very closely at the way that this played out and what threats had been issued prior to this stabbing. And so those are all things we'll be looking at.
District Attorney Brooke Jenkins discussed the case during a press conference just over an hour ago, noting that the suspect had made previous threats to another social worker in the past, and that he had allegedly come into the facility for care on the day of the murder. But they're unsure if he was acting in a way of, that caused concern, that caused premeditation for the murder. It was shortly after the representatives within the hospital noticed that he was causing an issue that he pulled out the 5-inch kitchen knife on Rangel.
And in this case, we've charged a special allegation for the use of a knife, which at this time under California law adds an additional year of exposure to the prison sentence.
His arraignment is tomorrow afternoon, and the DA's office is seeking to detain him, as in hold him without bail, as he poses a significant threat to the public, according to Jenkins. Now, meanwhile, the San Francisco Department of Public Health is assessing risk at San Francisco General, the department telling KCBS it's conducting its own investigation and reportedly restricting access to certain buildings, increasing security presence, and implementing security measures that weren't there before. Reporting live from San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
KCBS had more on the case later in the week.
In the wake of a stabbing leaving a social worker dead last week, San Francisco General healthcare professionals who work there are requesting immediate changes to security and safety support for employees. More from KCBS's Ken Duffy.
The list includes five categories, ranging from an immediate threat and security assessment of all UCSF campuses to covering staffing, protected time off, and preventing workplace violence. Marias Campos is a UPTE union leader.
We know that violence against healthcare workers is a growing national crisis. Being a healthcare worker, you are five times more likely to be affected by a workplace violence incident.
Social worker Juliet Suarez, who's worked at SF General for 4 years, says their demands and concerns are nothing new.
Workers have, when something has happened, you know, they've gone through the channels that exist to, you know, report that to management, and also have been ringing the bell internally as well through different channels that exist, but there's been a lack of actual meaningful changes.
Employees also want to hold a joint meeting with management and a written response to their demands, spelling out safety actions, including timelines. Ken Duffy, KCBS.
In Detroit, two men who allegedly posed as workers for DTE, an energy company, and allegedly murdered a jeweler from the city of Rochester Hills in those disguises were just sentenced this week. Here's WWJ News Radio's Tim Pamplin with the report.
Judge Polis handed down natural life sentences to both men, meaning no parole. Both men will die in prison. It was October 2024 when the two killers, Carlos Hernandez and Joshua Zawazo, posing as DTE employees, complete with high-vis vests, DTE logos, and clipboards, talked their way into the Rochester Hills home of 72-year-old jeweler Hussein Murray. On the pretense, there was a gas leak in the area. Once they got inside the home, the killers went to the basement with Murray, where they beat and strangled him. His wife, she was tied up upstairs and beat, and she survived and had to relive the entire ordeal during the trial. She and her three sons were also in the courtroom today. The sons had a chance to address the killers before they were sentenced. Here's Mahoob Murray, the couple's eldest son.
Carlos Hernandez and Joshua Zuazo robbed my mom of her lifelong companion, her husband of 54 years. My brothers and I were robbed of our hero, our counselor, and just dad.
absolutely senseless. Both killers stood emotionless, their lawyers saying the pair planned to appeal the conviction, something the Murray family did not want to hear, saying they've simply been through enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
WWJ News Radio's Luke Sloan also interviewed Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard this week about the dangers of a new app described as, quote, Tinder for kids.
This Wiz app, is this something on your radar or that you've heard of before?
Yes. Yeah, well, it's, you know, another iteration. We encourage parents to have conversations with their kids, and not a big fan, frankly, of kids having social media accounts, especially at young ages. Some states are actually talking about banning it up to certain ages because it becomes, as you said, a haven for predators. On this particular app, even though they say it's 12 plus, we know for a fact kids as young as 9 and 10 are regularly using it. And it attracts predators. You know, it has major risks, including strangers can message minors, sexual predators, and grooming activity we know goes on social media and these kinds of apps. Explicit photo sharing is often requested or shared. And we've seen sextortion, terrible cases where, you know, they get drawn into a conversation thinking it's a young girl or a young boy their age. And next thing you know, they're sharing very intimate pictures of themselves or activities. And then they find out it's not who they thought it was, their age or some quote unquote friend. And now that person begins to blackmail them. That's sextortion. And we've seen, you know, across the country where young kids commit suicide because they feel so trapped from these situations. So, you know, there's so many bad risks that are in these kinds of activities that we really encourage parents to, you know, have that conversation, and the kids shouldn't be on these kinds of social media apps.
You know, I know it can be kind of difficult maybe for parents to cut through it. You know, everyone's got their phone, their laptop, their, you know, sometimes you don't think, oh, should I pick up my child's phone and just see what they're doing? Is there a good way parents can kind of cut through that and you know, make it a conversation with their kids, you know, before they might get on an app like this?
Yeah, well, there's also devices that you can buy that won't allow downloading of apps or won't allow access to certain sites or put parental controls on it. I mean, yes, its iterations have changed, but it's the same from parents going down in time. I mean, I remember there were shows and different things on cable TV I didn't want my kids to see when they were little. And so we didn't have that either in the house with cable TV, or there were very hard parental locks on it. And we wouldn't allow them to go to other houses if kids were watching that there. So, you know, I guess the most important thing is parents have to be parents, and they have to set guardrails, and they have to do everything they can protect kids from some of these outside pressures and influences, because very often they're very destructive and can be very dangerous.
You know, as sheriff, for you and your colleagues, you know, you do everything in your power to, you know, alert children, alert parents of these potential dangers. But in terms of maybe eliminating some of those dangers, so you don't have to warn people about them in the first place, in terms of legislative action, whether it be about a social media age limit, even banning apps like this, would you call on either state or federal lawmakers to be proactive when it comes to including safeguards like that? So, you know, we don't have to have these conversations about things that could potentially be trouble as often.
Well, I'm not a big fan of big government, but I think government can play a role in assisting parents protect their kids. And so maybe part of that could be age guardrails, or part of it could be give those media companies less civil protection from lawsuit, so that, you know, they have their own incentive to make sure that they're doing things right and not letting kids get into situations or conversations that are terribly inappropriate.
In Philadelphia, KYW News Radio reported this week on a man who allegedly assaulted minors and then fled the country.
A 45-year-old Warminster man who fled the country nearly 2 years ago after he was charged with sexually assaulting three girls is back in custody in Bucks County. KYW Suburban Bureau Chief Jim Melwert reports.
Noel Yanis, formerly of the Rosewood West Apartments on Norristown Road in Warminster, was charged in February 2024 with sexually assaulting or raping three girls, but the Bucks County DA's office says he fled the country shortly after charges were filed. The youngest was 4 years old at the time of the assault. Another girl tells police Yanis raped her several times, starting when she was five and continuing until she was 11. A third victim was eight when she says Yanis sexually assaulted her in a pool. Yanis was arrested in El Salvador in January and extradited back to Bucks County this week.
Yanis is facing seven counts each of rape of a child, statutory sexual assault, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse with a child, indecent assault, and unlawful contact with a minor.
KYW also provided an update to the Cadis Scott murder case. 23-year-old Scott was found buried behind a middle school after disappearing on October 4th. An investigation into her murder indicated that 21-year-old suspect Keon King shot her just moments after Scott got into a car with him. He allegedly stalked Scott before the murder. King was previously accused of kidnapping and strangling his ex-girlfriend in January, but Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner dropped the charges against him.
Philadelphia City Council today looked for answers as to why the man accused of killing Cadis Scott was released from custody before her death. KYW City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb reports.
The hearing was billed as an examination of policies to protect abuse and domestic violence victims, but when DA Larry Krasner testified, counsel quickly zeroed in on the case of Keon King, the suspect in Cadis Scott's killing. King was accused of kidnapping and strangling an ex-girlfriend in the year before Scott's death, but Krasner's office dropped the charges, blaming the courts for granting King bail. Council President Kenyatta Johnson pressed Krasner about why he didn't appeal the bail, and for the first time, Krasner said he actually thought the $200,000 bail was adequate.
I think what is being said is we did not call because
we did not call because it was $200,000.
Because relatively speaking, it was pretty high bail for the.
And
for
so $200,000 is a high bail for a kidnapping.
The truth is,
and does the strangulation on top of the kidnapping make it even more serious than a slap?
It was better than we usually get.
Cadis Scott's father, Kevin, watching the hearing, tried to find the positive.
It looked like the ball was dropped a couple of times, so definitely frustration. But hopefully this awareness can change the laws going forward.
Next year, Krasner says he plans to request funding to create a specialized domestic violence unit in his office.
As Scott's family and community mourned the young woman, they also want her memory to serve as a catalyst for change.
Still, Scott said, he appreciated counsel's effort and hoped his daughter's case would make a difference.
Still a part of me that's still saddened, you know, my daughter's not here any longer. And understanding the process how the suspect was released with prior incarceration and commit that crime against her. But I heard a lot of good things as far as possible legislation and information that could possibly change in the future for women in Philadelphia. I'm hopeful of that, you know.
Scott recently started the Kate Scott Foundation to empower the young women of Philadelphia. Pat Loeb, KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
We'll end our show with WCCO News Talk's Jason DeRussia and his interview with Mary Lucia, a longtime DJ in the Twin Cities. Lucia just released a book, What Doesn't Kill Me Makes Me Weirder and Harder to Relate To, about her experience dealing with a stalker.
I think you're still a household name.
I would like to think
which so. Which is certainly evidenced by the response to your book, which I read a couple of weeks ago, and it still is sitting with me. The book is called What Doesn't Kill Me Makes Me Weirder and Harder to Relate To. And that title, I think, sets up the fact that this book is incredibly entertaining, and it also just pissed me off, Mary.
I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did both, because that was certainly my intention. You know, I got to say that writing a book with a subject matter that is this grim and frankly traumatic to rethink about and reform my feelings about it, it was just inevitable that I would also include some ridiculous stories about my own life, just so that somebody knows exactly who I am. And this ridiculous thing happened to me.
You were stalked, and that is sort of the every other chapter construct of this book. I have worked with so many women, and it's way worse for women in broadcasting, radio, television, whatever, than men. Men get their share of weirdos, sure. But they don't usually show up at our house.
I think that there's probably a hierarchy. Maybe it's TV, radio, print, just in terms of the amount of attention unwanted that you get. But I've known since I started in 1994 at Rev 105 that there's always somebody who's a little too big a fan, a little too boundaryless. And you do learn to discern, okay, who is really not a threat, but I still wish they would go away. And when it really crosses over into a place of true just the threat all the time, I think you realize when to take it absolutely seriously. And like I said, it wasn't my first rodeo. I certainly had had enough weirdos.
Your share of weirdos, right?
Yeah, this was really...
Do you think it's because, I mean, your style as a DJ was so personal.
Yeah.
You really, as a listener, you knew you. Or you thought you did.
Well, that's the thing. I know you have the same thing. People come up to you. They say, I've listened to you for years, and I feel I know you. And to some degree, you do. I really think that I've cultivated just my own thing. There's not a different persona I have somewhere else. So people really did kind of have a sense of who I was. I did share stories. I guess the whole point for me was, if you're doing your job well, you are connecting with people.
That's right.
And strangers do see you as a friend.
2013 was when this stalker sort of emerged for you. Did you have a sense right away that this was different?
I think because the very first encounter, unknowingly, that I had with him, I had lost my dog Smudge, and I had kind of shared that whole journey with my listeners, and in came so many listeners saying, I lost a pet, I did this. We all related to each other. It was not uncommon for me to write back to a stranger and say, I'm so terribly sorry that you had this loss as well. What I didn't know was reaching out to this one person began this entire nightmare of 3 years of stalking. And it was him. And it was really difficult in the beginning because I didn't know his name. I had no idea. Just packages showing up at work. And there was
really weird.
Really weird stuff. I mean, and there really wasn't anything to identify who it was. So therein lied also the problem in trying to get people to take it seriously, because you call the police if something is left on your doorstep, but you're saying, I don't know who this person is. I've never met them. I'm on the radio.
Right.
They don't know what to do.
Right. And the reason, well, there are many reasons this story is so infuriating, because as someone in this business, like, mm-hmm. It just makes you so mad that you had to deal with that, first of all. But then you were traumatized over and over and over by what I would describe as a lack of interest and a lack of taking it seriously from the employer standpoint,
mm-hmm.
but also systemically,
mm-hmm.
you did finally find a police officer that took you seriously, but that the road to get there is a similar thing that we see every time you get a news story of someone who kills someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my God, the signs were there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I found somebody to finally listen to my story. This is after 2 years. I think that.
Did you worry that you were going to be killed?
Of course. He told me he knew where I was every minute of every day. He was so delusional in his thinking. And I've said this before, that I believe truly, he believed the delusions were as real to him as the trauma was to me. It was a constant sense of, I know what you're doing. He threatened to kill my dogs. I mean, it was when someone tells you, I'm watching you, I know every place you go, you believe them.
And when you brought your fears about that to public radio, mm-hmm. to your bosses, what was the reaction?
You know, I don't blame anyone for not completely understanding if they've never been through something like that, nor had someone they love to go through that. But what would have gone really far, Jason, was a modicum amount of interest in, well, how is this making you feel? I mean, what is this doing to you? Because business as usual is pretty difficult when you're on an afternoon drive show every day trying to be entertaining and smart and healthy, you know, rest. And you're terrified. So I felt that.
And worried probably that you're going to say something mm-hmm. that's going to then trigger the next weird visit or package.
Absolutely. Because there was a lot of references to things that I had said on air. And they were all tied to this very delusional mind. It's a crime. It's a felony. And I don't think that people have an understanding of it. Only if it's a domestic stalking in which you know the stalker, it's an ex or a landlord or something like that. When it's a complete stranger doing this to you, and it's a person who clearly sees no limit to what, they have no fear of jail, they have no fear of being arrested, it makes it twice as frightening because there's just nothing that will stop them.
You stepped away from the current. Because you just couldn't, right?
I had to step away because I actually thought I was preparing for a trial, which, that got pushed and pushed and pushed, and then there was competency hearings. So anytime someone tells you your court date's April 5th, it's maybe April 5th of the 2 years later. So I thought I got to take some time away because I'd been under this sort of gag order. I couldn't talk about it. Obviously, I don't want to talk about it on air, but It actually ended up being this sort of 5 months where I was just getting tortured at home. And so, yeah, the frequency in which I was calling the police, and this is something I learned, Jason. Okay, so police are not social workers. They're profilers. You know, they're basically in their car going, that doesn't look right. That might be sus, this, that. I also learned that depending on the time of night you call 911, if you call at 2 a.m., you get a rookie. You get somebody who's less experienced. I mean, I went through the whole thing. They give you a blue card every time you call. I had my restraining order with me right there on the front porch. How many times I had to go out and give kind of the cliff note version of what was going on to these very perplexed looking law enforcement officers that just didn't understand when I would say, I don't know him. He's been at my house. And then one kind officer said to me, well, don't worry about how he found out where you lived. I mean, he probably just followed you home from work. And I thought, it's really kind of you. Mm-hmm. It was consistently sort of regarded as, somebody likes
part
you
of
on
the deal.
Radio.
You're
yeah,
on the radio.
Right. Yeah. And it is not.
I think that's generally how it's treated.
It is. It is.
That, of course you have some people obsessed with you. You chose this career. Good
luck. Right. And then obviously I think again, like, you know, the better you are at your job about being an authentic person, it's like, oh no, that is really dangerous in the wrong mind.
Yeah. I think reading your book, and I hope law enforcement people read your book, because it does, in a way, it gives the rest of us who maybe aren't going through this some better thought about how you can be supportive.
You know,
you did have some support.
But I had some support. I mean, I had a police sergeant, Sergeant Darcy Horn, and she was exceptional. She was the first person that actually listened. She sat at my dining room table. She was the one I had to do the mugshot list with. She was extremely helpful. And it was the first person after maybe 2 years of going through this alone. I guess the thing about stalking is that it's a felony. However, when they come to sentencing, if it's a mental illness, we all know they can't, the courts can't mandate mental health help. Obviously, too, this person could go to a halfway house. They will be not locked up. They're free to move about the cabin and just sort of continue on with the same behavior. There's so little to understand unless I can produce a bullet hole or a stab wound.
Lucia added that just the experience of stalking alone can turn someone's life on its head, changing their habits, making them feel unsafe, even in their own home, and more. It's important to listen to people when they tell you they think they're in danger. Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to 1010 Winds in New York, WCCO News Radio in Minneapolis, KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, and WWJ News Radio in Detroit. You can keep up with crime news from across the country with these roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, to the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.